We'll continue our series today on having a new focus in life. The last two sessions, I've been teaching from sections of the class I taught several years ago called Stayed Mind and the Peace of God. So every topic in that class deals with that theme that we want to have our minds stayed on God's Word. So it's fixed, it's focused on God. And that leads us to having the peace of God. And one portion of that we'll cover today, I call patiently determined, because God wants us to be very patient, and yet he wants us to be very determined to continue to move ahead with the things of God and not get discouraged and not get sidetracked and not get upset about things. So we'll start here in Psalm 37 and verse 7. Psalm 37, verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. We just have to rest in the Lord. We have to know that he will come through for us and be very patient. And as you know, usually in the Old Testament, when you see the word patient, it's from a Hebrew word that means patiently expecting. You do that sometimes. You go somewhere, you're waiting in line at the bank. Yes, you have to be patient, but you have an expectation that when you finally get up to the teller's window, you'll actually get whatever it is you wanted, a check, a money order, something notarized, whatever it is you're doing at the bank. You have an expectation. It's not just that you're waiting patiently and then you'll sit there, stand there for 4 hours, and they'll send you home and say, come back tomorrow. I've heard there are countries where that happens, but it's pretty rare in our country to have that happen. So we rest in the Lord and we wait patiently with expectation for him. Instead of getting upset and worried when situations don't go your way, instead of focusing on the negatives and what's going wrong, we just rest. We relax, trusting God and waiting patiently for him to come through for us. Then we read, fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. That would be to worry about somebody who's doing well when you're not. You don't worry about that person. Then the last clause, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Just because somebody's doing evil things and he's prospering, don't worry about it. It's not your problem. I just see way too many people who spend half of their lives worrying about somebody they consider evil doing well. Well, first of all, the person may or may not be evil, but even if the person is evil and is doing evil things and is prospering, we're not supposed to worry about it. We're not supposed to worry about it. We're supposed to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Look at verse 8. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Just don't worry and think you have to do evil. Because look what it says in verse 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, those that look to God with expectation, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek, those who are willing to listen to God, shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. People who are meek to listen to God, to do what he says, to trust him, they'll delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Their lives will be just so peaceful because they will know God's taking care of them that they'll delight themselves in that. Everybody else is worried and upset about everything, and they're just delighted in the great peace they have from trusting God. Let's go to Psalm 40. And here in verse 1, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord. I waited, again, with expectation. I expected God to help me, and I was very patient. And he inclined unto me. He leaned over to listen to what I had to say, and he heard my cry. Verse 2, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. There are days where we feel life is the pits, and we're stuck in the muck and mire of the world, and nothing's going well. Well, that's what happened to the psalmist here. But God brought him out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And instead of being a mushy, miry clay, he set his feet upon a rock and established his goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, verse 3, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turneth aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. And then it goes on and on. But getting back to verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord. I was patiently determined, which is our theme today. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. Isn't that a great thing? I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. Let's go switch to the New Testament. Go to Luke chapter 8. Oops. Here in Luke 8 and verse 15, this is the parable of the sower, which we're familiar with. Actually, let's go back and read it. We might as well. We're not in a hurry. Verse 4 of Luke 8. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake a parable. A parable is a story, a figure of speech, but it has a meaning. So he spake a parable. Verse 5. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And it was trodden down, and the fowls, the birds of the air, devoured it. So if you throw seed by the side of the road, the birds will just eat it. And some fell upon a rock. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. So there was just a little bit of dirt on the rock, but there was not enough moisture because it couldn't go deep down into the ground where there's moisture, so it withered. And some fell among thorns. Various weeds, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Verse 8, and other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. That's what you want seed to do. You want to spread it on good ground. That's why a farmer does not plant his seeds on the road or on rock or where there's a lot of weeds. He wants it to be on good ground. And the other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? They didn't know what he was talking about, because what he was saying was just sort of common sense. They lived in an agrarian society where many of the people were farmers and worked the land. And what he was saying was obvious. It would be like if I said, well, if you could get on the highway at rush hour, traffic's bad. If you drive down the highway at midnight, it's not so bad. You're going, okay, we get that. what are you talking about? What do you mean? Verse 10, and he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this, so he's going to explain it. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside, by the side of the road, are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they, which when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which were for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And they which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Now, verse 15, this is where we're really headed here. But they on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with what? Patience. It takes time for seed to grow. It takes time for the word of God to take root in your life and bring forth fruit and get you the results you want walking with God. It doesn't happen overnight, but it does happen. And there are those people that are so impatient, they want to say, if it doesn't happen immediately, I don't want it. Well, those people would starve to death if you put them out in the countryside. Because the people that eat and prosper, if you live in a farm economy, are those who patiently hoe the ground, patiently plant the seed, patiently pull the weeds, patiently water the crops. And then when harvest comes, they harvest the crops, and everybody has food. But those who walk out of the field and say, there's no food there, this is a waste of time, they don't get to eat. And it's the same way with the scriptures in our lives. People who want everything to change overnight, and they pray for 20 seconds and don't immediately see a huge miracle, so they give up. Those people aren't going to get much success with the things of God. Because it says here in verse 15, they on good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. They live the word. They keep it in their hearts and minds. They meditate on it. They pray. They live it. And what they do is they bring forth fruit with patience. Because they're willing to give time for the word to grow in their hearts. They're willing to take time to grow in their believing and their confidence in God. And they're willing to pray and let God bring them the deliverance when the time is right. Because you see, God has to work with people, and people have freedom of will. So you may be praying for something that involves a lot of circumstances that are honestly beyond God's control. Because God does not control people. He does not make them do things. I think of that record when the children of Israel were taken captive to Babylon, and then during the time they were there, the Persians actually took over. So the Babylonian captivity became the Persian captivity. And it said God worked in the heart of Cyrus the Persian to let them return to Jerusalem. God couldn't control Cyrus, but he somehow communicated with him and somehow convinced him to let them go back. But there are other people like Herod and some other very evil people you read about in the scriptures that God couldn't convince them. So God told people like Joseph to get out of town and take Mary and the baby Jesus with them because he couldn't convince them. But he somehow convinced Cyrus to let the children of Israel go. And that's just an indication that when you pray for things, sometimes God can do it immediately. Other times it takes him time to work things out, and it may not be available the way you want it. It wasn't available for Joseph to stay with Mary and Jesus in Bethlehem, because Herod has sent his troops out to kill all the children 2 years old and under. So there was, and that was Herod's freedom of will, and God couldn't do anything about it, because he doesn't overcome people's freedom of will. But he still protected them by telling them to get up and flee to Egypt, because once they crossed the border into Egypt, neither Herod nor the Romans would have any power there. Well, actually, the Romans might have controlled Egypt by then, I can't remember, but Herod himself definitely did not have any power there. So that's part of the reason we have to be patient. Partly it takes time for the Word of God to grow in our lives. Partly it takes time for us to get to the place where we believe that when we pray, we believe that God will deliver us. Partly God has to work in other situations with other people. And he can't always do it immediately. But what God always does is come through for us on time and never forsake us. And if he can't get what we need one way, he has plenty of other ways to do it. Sort of like you. You may want to go to work and maybe your car won't start. But you might have another car. You might have a neighbor with a car. You might have a bus. You might take a cab. You might walk. You might have a bicycle. You'll probably find a way to get to work. So just because one way doesn't work doesn't mean it can't happen. So let's get back to this. Verse 15, Luke 8:15. They on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Okay, let's go to Luke 21. Here we go. Luke 21. In verse 15. Get the wrong verse. Oh, it's verse 19. It says here in verse 19, in your patience, possess ye your souls. In your patience, possess ye your souls. In the New American Standard Bible, another translation, it says, by your endurance, you will gain your lives. You have to be willing to be patient. You have to have endurance, and you'll gain your lives. That's the way you have to live. If you faint mentally, what's it say in somewhere in the Psalms? It says, if thou faintest in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. We just can't faint mentally when we run across a tough situation. We have to, I think it's some, another scripture says, gird up the loins of your mind. Just get your mind under control and focused. In your patience, possess ye your souls, or by your endurance, you will gain your lives. It takes patience and determination. Think of people like David. He was chased by Saul and had to go hide in the mountains. Later on, he was forced to flee from his city because of one of his own sons that tried to, you know, take over the kingdom from him. He had so many people at so many times. He had Goliath when he was a young man coming at him, you know, twice his size, four times his weight coming at him. It's just amazing what people have endured. Look at Moses. He came down from the mountain and they were worshiping a golden calf. He had all those things with Pharaoh. And I was reading about that this morning, and the elders of Israel were blaming Moses for everything that was going wrong when it was Pharaoh that was oppressing them. There are some, Paul was, you know, stoned to death by crowds because they didn't believe the word and they wanted to follow the Old Testament law. There are just so many, many things like that. You just have to endure and look to God. You can't give up and quit when you have a tough day or something goes wrong. We pray for everything to go smoothly in our lives, but there are times it's going to go very badly. But just because it's going badly doesn't mean you give up. It means you just go to God, and with patience and endurance, you pray and ask Him to help you. It's an amazing thing. Let's go to Romans 5. Great section here in Romans 5. Romans 5 and verse 3. Or let's go back to verse 1. Therefore, being justified or made righteous by faith, by believing, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's an amazing thing there. We have peace with God. There's nothing separating you from God. God is not this angry beast with lightning bolts throwing them on you. We have peace with God. There's nothing to stop you from having complete, clear, open communication with God. You have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, by whom also, by Lord Jesus Christ, also we have access by faith, by believing into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now look at verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Tribulations is like mental pressure, difficulties, challenges. We glory in this mental pressure. We glory about it. We just are... We brag about it. We're excited about it. Wow, I get to have some mental pressure. Knowing that mental pressure works or produces patience. Isn't that something? Because if you have enough mental pressure and you stick with it, you'll end up with patience. Now, nobody likes mental pressure. Nobody likes tribulation. Nobody likes agitation in their lives. But we all know that having it gives you patience. I mean, athletes know this. Athletes know that if you play against teams that are really easy, you'll never get better. The only way to get better is to play against a team that's at least as good as you and maybe better than you, because it pushes you to get better. And then once you get used to playing against people that are really, really good at practice, then you go out to your game and it's sort of second nature to play well in tough circumstances. Athletes know this. We know this from schools where professors and teachers will give you exams with harder questions than you'll probably ever face in your actual work life. We know this from many, many things, that being pushed and having difficulties actually helps you. Now, I'm not suggesting that God gives you difficulties. There's There's plenty of difficulties in the world without somebody throwing them at you, but since you're going to have them anyway, you might as well glory in them and realize that this tribulation produces patience, because you just know that, okay, you've been through this before, it's not so bad. I've been in my business for a very long time, and I sort of get a kick out of it when I run into people that are a little newer to the business, that things come up and it sort of really bothers them. But having seen the same thing happen 10 or 20 times, I just sort of look at it and chuckle and go, oh, we'll get through that. It's just like the last 18 times it happened to me. And we all have things like that. You have things you've done many, many times and you've survived them, so you're patient. Somebody else maybe hasn't been through that situation, so they see it for the first time and they go, oh my gosh, we're going to die. And you go, no, we're not. I know how to do this. Don't worry about it. So this tribulation produces patience. And patience, verse 4, produces experience. So you get this experience, having gotten through this, and experience produces hope. Hope is a positive outlook that things are going to work, positive expectation. Because you've seen God come through for you so many times, and you've realized you also have the mental capacity to deal with it, that you have great hope. Then look at verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed. You're not ashamed about your life. You're not ashamed about your circumstances, because you know God's going to come through for you. You know you can handle it. Then the end of verse 5, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. That's how this love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, is because God's given us the gift of Holy Spirit. So we just don't worry about stuff. So tribulation, is going back here in verse 3, produces patience. So when you have a little tribulation, when you have some mental pressure, when you have a tough day, instead of getting all upset about it, which we all do from time to time, or if you get upset about it, get over it, you know, work your way through, let yourself get a little upset, blow off a little steam, but then get to the place where you realize that this mental pressure, this tribulation, this being attacked and being all agitated, it produces patience. And patience is what you need to walk with God and live your life. Now, from the J.B. Phillips translation, I'm going to read what these three verses say. It says, this does not mean, of course, that we have only a hope of future joys. We can be full of joy here and now, even in our trials and troubles. Taken in the right spirit, these very things will give us a patient endurance. This, in turn, will develop a mature character. And character of this sort produces a steady hope, a hope that will never disappoint us. Let me read that to you again. This doesn't mean, of course, that we have only a hope of future joys. We can be full of joy here and now, even in our trials and troubles. Taken in the right spirit, these very things will give us a patient endurance. This, in turn, will develop a mature character, and a character of this sort produces a steady hope, a hope that will never disappoint us. Great stuff. Patience is super. Let's go to Romans 12. And here in Romans 12 and verse 12, we read, rejoicing in hope, patience in tribulation, again, mental pressure, and continuing instant in prayer. And continuing instant in prayer can be translated continuing steadfast in prayer, or faithful in prayer, or to persevere and not faint in prayer, or my favorite, to show oneself courageous for prayer. See, we have to be courageous to pray. I know most of our stories about being courageous or athletes or, you know, people overcoming a physical disability or somebody in a warfare situation or a police situation or putting out a fire. And those are all good places to be courageous. And I think people that are courageous in those situations, you know, tremendous. But how about being courageous when we pray? Having the courage to stay with it. Having the courage to continue to go to God and not give up. Because the easiest thing to do is give in to self-defeat. Just give in to total discouragement. That's easy. Just give up. What's hard in many situations is to just keep praying and control your mind and say, I don't care how bad things are. I don't care how people are treating me. I don't care how things look. I don't care the fact that everything I tried fell apart and didn't work. I'm going to pray, and I know God's going to come through for me, and I'm just going to have the courage, the faithfulness, the steadfastness, the perseverance to keep praying. That's what it takes to be patiently determined and to have the peace of God in your life and to see God come through for you. It just takes that kind of determination. Okay, let's go to Colossians. A couple more here to wrap this up. We'll go to Colossians chapter 1. In verse 9. Colossians 1, 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, and it's talking about their love in the Spirit, about what wonderful believers they are. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. What a great thing to pray for, that they'd be filled with the knowledge of God's will, with tremendous wisdom and tremendous spiritual understanding, just having the perspective of knowing that they can trust God and God will take care of them, and knowing how to walk with God and live His word. Verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord. With that wisdom and spiritual understanding, he prayed, verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering. And long-suffering is a word that's sort of like patience on steroids, extreme patience. You might say patience and even more patience with joyfulness. And that is a great place to get in life, where you can have patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. A lot of people want to be miserable, agitated, upset until they work through their problem. Then they want to be joyful. And I feel bad for people like that, because life is made up of little problems. And if you can't learn to be joyful and trusting God in the midst of them, you may never be joyful. Because chances are, when you finally get through that problem you have now, there will be another problem, and then you'll go be miserable again, and you'll never get around to being joyful. And that's no fun. So the scriptures talk about patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. So again, we don't expect problems, but they seem to show up on their own. So we pray, we have great patient endurance that God will come through for us. And with that patience and that extreme long-suffering, by the way, long-suffering is one of the fruit of the Spirit. So as you have the Spirit of God and you speak in tongues and use the Spirit of God, one of the results is that you will have long-suffering. You will have great patience. You will be able to endure things with joyfulness that the average person couldn't do. So we have all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. And then one to close here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, we'll start in verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, unto the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it's meet, as it's appropriate, because your faith, your believing, groweth exceedingly. We're just so thankful because you keep growing in your believing. The more we teach about God's word, the more you hear about it, the more you believe it. the more confidence you have in God, the more trust you have in God. So because your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity, the love of God of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. You guys have great love, great concern towards each other, and it just abounds. You won't, don't just, it's not like you, there are plenty of groups where people barely put up with each other. Well, here they not, they went way beyond barely putting up with each other. They had great love, great concern. Charity is that Greek word agape, meaning the love of God, where it's this selfless love, this it's this unconditional love where you love people no matter what they do. And they had this great love of God, of everyone. Let's read that again. And the charity, the love of God of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Verse 4, so that we ourselves glory in you. We brag about you. We're excited about you in the churches of God for your what? For your patience. And that word patience can also be translated perseverance or steadfastness. We glory because of your perseverance, your steadfastness, and faith, and believing in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. So they had persecutions, they had mental pressure, but in all of it, they had perseverance, they were steadfast, they were patient, and they believed. And what a great example that is. No wonder they could brag about those people, because that is just the kind of believers they were. They grew in their believing, they had great love for one another, and fitting with our theme for the day, they were patiently determined. They had great patience, great steadfastness, they had great believing, even though they had persecutions and tribulations. Now, we do not generally get attacked for being Christians. We don't get thrown in jail, we don't get whipped, we don't get our heads chopped off, which some of the first century churches, Christians did, and other Christians through the ages have. We don't live in a society where people drag you off the street with machine guns and torture you. We know of people in the world today and in recent years where that does happen. But it doesn't happen here. If we're going to have a tribulation, if we're going to have pressure, it's going to be financial, or it's going to be emotional, or it's going to deal with a person that we don't get along with. It's going to be a health issue, perhaps a financial issue. Those are the types of things that are a big challenge. And I'm not trying to downplay the fact that we all have challenges. We do. But my point is, God has got people through tremendous challenges, in many ways much worse and more difficult than the ones we have. And if God was able to get them through those things, he surely can get us through the challenges each and every one of us has. So I'm not saying pretend you don't have challenges. I'm not saying pretend you don't have difficulties. I'm saying keep the perspective that no matter how challenging they seem, God is able to do much, much more. So we need to be patiently determined that God will come through for us, and we should be have patience and long-suffering with joyfulness and believing. And as we do that, we'll see God go to bat for us, we'll see him bring us deliverance, and we'll have great peace and joy in our hearts, knowing that God will never forsake us. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for these wonderful, wonderful saints that love you. Thank you for the great truths you put in your word. Thank you for the examples of so many tremendous believers throughout the ages that have trusted you and believed you, and the great things you have done for them. And what a shining example your love and faithfulness is for us, to show us that we can always trust you because you will always come through. May the weeks ahead be filled with trusting you, believing you, being patiently determined to stick with you and never give up on trusting you, and then having the joy of seeing your word come to pass in our lives. Thank you for this, and a great day in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.